When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Will. Will Z is with us.
Hey. How's it going?
What's that?
He was shooting around at practice yesterday.
Oh.
Domas was.
Oddly quiet on Sabonis.
Well, I think he's in the middle of another 5-week stretch.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, like, and it's fine. It can stay as quiet as you want it to be unless the noise starts to center around Atlanta or Toronto, then I'm all with it. I can't figure out a Toronto deal though. Like not even like Anthony Davis for like money, money wise, because every contract that they have that you can make money work probably is a few too many years for anyone who would want to make that deal. Like there's no positive in it for a Dallas or a Sacramento. If you're talking about Anthony Davis or DeMontis Sabonis, Atlanta would make more sense.
Toronto got Barrett and Quickly, though. And if you, and depending on how you feel about Barrett, you could pair RJ up with Cooper. You know what I mean? You got a young core now. Or, I mean, you're not pairing them up with anybody here, but RJ and Keegan or something like that.
Yeah, RJ is 27. This is RJ, right? Yeah, RJ is 27 this year and 29 the following year. Unrestricted free agent after that.
I thought he was a little bit more than that. My bad. I thought he was like 35.
No.
Quickly in the 30s.
Let me check him in real quickly here. Real
quickly. Quickly's at
I think Quickly might be like 30, 31.
Clearly, 32. I spelled Emmanuel Quickly in sport spot track.
It's a different spelling. It is a different spelling. It's happened a couple times. Yeah. I just go to the drop down.
Thank you. Yeah. Dummy. And now I'm looking at stats instead of numbers. Standby. Actually, everybody just sit here quietly while I find this damn contract.
$32.5 million annually.
This is the one that I think throws everyone off. Jesse said it. He's $32.5 annually. That's this year, next year, the year after, and the year after that. It's $32.5 into the 2028-2029 season.
And you know what's crazy? I think you got to add another player to get AD's money.
To get AD?
Yeah.
But what about Domas?
Oh yeah, just go ahead.
Domas, how do you feel about Quickly and Barrett being on your team for, you know, RJ is two more years. Quickly's a while.
Yeah. I'd rather not. Yeah. I'd rather not because of the price and the length of that contract. But I do like those guys as players. And I think that's something that you can work with.
Guessing Scott Perry does too.
Yeah.
Will Z from SI is with us. Will hasn't had one enjoyable thing to write about one single time this season. I don't think he's joined us through the first 30 some odd games of the season. Wasn't even sure if Will was still watching the show. It's been so bad.
That's been the problem. That's why we're not.
I'm watching every day.
Oh, it could be.
Don't worry. I'm still here.
Will, this team stinks.
They stink. The worst part is like, even when they were winning, like, cause at the beginning of the season, like they were winning, but I remember an article I did and was like, this doesn't look good. Like, I don't know how they're winning these games. And then everything just went downhill so fast. And like, you could totally see it coming. But now looking at it, so what I wanted to do, I think we were joking about it in the chat the other week, was doing a like worst stat of the week because it's very fitting for the Kings season. So I was like, all right, let's do it. I think I'm going to do it every Friday. I'll do a best stat of the week, too, because there's still some good things going
there's
on.
There's no way there is.
I was about to
there's
ask,
absolutely
is there any
no
good
way
I'll
find
something. They have?
I'll find something. It'll be like
Russell Westbrook moved up another list.
For some people, it's
we're
the
getting
lost
those
column.
A lot.
That's the best stat.
Between him and DeRozan?
Yeah, that's true. Lottery odds increase.
Yeah. The Kings offensive shot profile is what I looked at for today. And we all know that they aren't taking or making many threes, but I think there's more to it than at least I realized. Like, worst offense in the league is shocking for this team and how many talented offensive players they have. So I really wanted to figure out kind of why that was happening. Injury is obviously a big part of it, but the shots that they're taking, so they, starting with threes, are last in the league with 30.5 attempts per game. They're shooting 34.3% on them, which is 24th, and that puts them at 10.5 made threes. That's last in the league. The other spot that they're really kind of devolved in is at the rim. So in the restricted area, they're taking 20.1 field goal attempts per game. That's third fewest in the league. They're making them at a 67.1% clip, and that puts them at 13.5 made restricted field goals per contest. So we're talking the two best shots in the game, especially like analytics wise and everything. Like, I don't get super into the like analytics of shooting threes and layups only. I think there's a good balance. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking at like what are the best types of looks you can get, it's generally at the rim or an open three. They're getting the second fewest field goal attempts, field goals in the restricted area, and the fewest amount of threes. And that just decimates an offense. And I think that's a huge reason why they have the league's worst offense. So shots have to come from somewhere. And for them, they are leading the league in both the floater area and the mid-range field goal attempts per game. The floater area, they're taking 23.4 per game, mid-range 15.2, both the highest in the league. And I think that leads a lot into what personnel they have. They just, obviously, DeRozan is going to take a lot of mid-range shots, but they have so many mid-range shooters. And without Sabonis there, they don't have anyone to kind of feast inside. They don't, Reyno, he's great in that his little floater is great, but he doesn't get looks at the rim compared to what Sabonis was getting. And they don't have guards that get all the way to the rim like Fox used to. And it's just kind of, it puts them in a position where they have to be nearly perfect on offense and on defense, really, to even be in games. And that's why they get blown out all the time, because they just, it's hard to keep up when you're taking a bunch of little floater shots or mid-range shots.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
A lot of people were predicting their woes from beyond the arc and not being able to shoot. Mm-hmm. Some of these other numbers were predictable for a lot of people. Are there any numbers that show them not being as productive as maybe you would have thought of coming into the season?
Yeah, let me pull it up one more time. Definitely one, and something they've been really good at the last few years is, even though they haven't been a super high volume shooting three-point team, is Kenny, your favorite stat, the wide open threes. Mm. They just aren't generating good looks. So wide open threes, they're getting 15.2 per game. That is last in the league. Surprise, surprise. And 37.7% on their wide open threes. And that's just brutal. Mm. Like, that's 21st in the league. Any guesses on who's taking the most wide open threes for the Kings?
Russell Westbrook.
Nailed it.
Russell yep. Westbrook. Wow.
Yeah, 4.2.
My guess is defenses are like, yeah, go ahead, dog.
Yeah, go exactly.
Go ahead, Brody.
That's where defenses know. They're like, we're going to leave your bad shooters open. And he's making them at 42%, which is fine for a wide open three for him. But like, you can clearly see defenses know exactly how to play the Kings. And it's not hard because they just pack the paint. That's why they're not getting to the rim. And they leave certain shooters or non-shooters open. Precious, he's taken a lot of threes lately. They just, LaVine, Keegan, Keon, they're not getting those really good looks that you would want from that kind of movement offense that Doug's trying to create.
I wonder if that's a, I wonder if that's a, if that's a roster construction issue, like the Sacramento Kings can only play this way, or they just haven't found any other way to create an offense. And maybe one is, maybe the second one is a result of the first one, or the first one is a result. I don't know, but it, you would think like, hey, this isn't working. You have to do something else. Yeah. And is the answer like, no, we're just not capable?
I think it's a little bit of both, where it is a roster construction situation. But I also look at, they have had one of their best three-point shooters taken away, and they've taken away one of the other ones in Malik Monk. I'm talking about Keegan Murray's been hurt for most of the year. Mm-hmm. And in Malik Monk, I'm not exactly sure where he falls on the number aspect of his three-point percentage and all this other stuff, but I know he's a guy that teams have to respect when he goes to shoot a three-point shot, and they've taken him out of the game plan. So, and a team that already struggled to shoot threes and find those type of open looks, they've lost two of them for pretty much most of the year.
Mm-hmm. And Monk's been, what's he at this year? 40.8%. And he was making, I think he was at like somewhere between 1.8 and 2.2 wide open threes per game in the games that he's played. So again, even he's not getting great looks, and that's probably because when he's out there, teams know they can put some more focus on him. To me, I lean more towards roster construction. Maybe that's just a hope, because I love Doug Christie and I want him to succeed. So putting it more on roster construction kind of takes some of the blame off of the coaching staff, maybe the players. But I don't know. It's tough.
And then when you do get a Keegan Murray back in there, he's not hitting threes. Was he shooting 28% from beyond the arc?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's 28.
I can pull it up again. I wrote an article.
Here's a stat. Let's run this one. How many games have the Kings missed this year?
How many games?
Total when you, when you add up Keegan, Domas.
How many games? It's their 28, their 8-29.
We know Keegan and Domas haven't played one single second together.
About to say.
They haven't played one second together.
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say like 120 games they've missed. Because you factor in Zach LaVine, you factor in Schroeder was out for a little while. I'd say 120 games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you count in DNPs in that?
No.
I was going from injury.
No. Yeah. No. Because then it gets a little, dicey. And it gets a little confusing. Where are you at? We'll ask you this. I don't know if you've written about this. Where are you with the Keon Ellis and the Malik Monk stuff? Keon is obviously in the lineup right now. He wasn't to begin the season. Malik Monk was in the lineup to begin the season. He's not. Who should the Sacramento Kings be playing? Should they be playing both of them? Why does it seem like there's such a interest around Keon Ellis around the league, but not here in Sacramento?
I don't know if other teams, I assume teams watch full games, but Keon is such a like highlight defender that like probably other people are seeing those highlights and seeing like he still has great.
Have they seen the highlights of his endless ability to foul on a 3-point shot attempt or no? Do those not make it to the tape?
I doubt it.
I know it doesn't happen once a game. I know it doesn't. I know it doesn't. Like it. God bless it. It feels like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's almost like on the defensive side, he's like an offensive player that's streaky with their shot. Keon's defense is like when he's locked in, it's special. It's almost how we feel maybe about a Malik Monk on offense. When he's locked in on offense, like, man, he's dynamic. He's doing a lot of great things. Then he's helping the team out. But when Keon just isn't in the groove defensively, he makes those silly mistakes, misses assignments, gets beat, and he's streaky in that way as opposed to his shot being streaky. And I think that's something that you got to see him on a nightly basis to understand, or to somebody's coach's point and GM's points on a daily basis to understand.
Yeah. And a little like another stat that I love is the on-off net rating. So the Kings rating when this is, they're both bad, but I mean, when Keon's on the court, the Kings have a minus 14 net rating. When he's off the court, they're at minus 9.9. So it's not like they're great either way. Like we all know, they're terrible. But they are so far this season worse when Keon is playing. Hmm. On the flip side, Monk has a positive 4.1 net rating. So again, they're bad both times. But when Monk is on the court, minus 10.4. When he's off the court, minus 14.5. They're both bad numbers. But they're saying that the team, oh, my bad, that was Precious. Monk's at 4.8, minus 7.9 when he's on the court, minus 12.7 when he's off the court. They're bad all around. That takes into account the whole lineup that's out there. So it's not a perfect stat, but it shows part of a picture. And I think it's part of a little more that we see with Keon. For me, I always go back to you're not getting a rounded, just stats-wise, you're not getting that much from Keon outside of defense and even three-point shooting sometimes this season. Like, it feels like he's either going to have 15 points or 0 points, and there's no in-between.
Now, much like I'll defend a Trae Young, a Jordan Poole, a LaMelo Ball, mm-hmm. like this guy isn't a winning player and all this other stuff. I'll do the same for a guy like Keon Ellis, where like on a better team, I think he looks better. I think he plays better on that end of the floor and all around. And I think I still believe what we've seen from Keon is a little bit more of a product of his environment, for lack of a better term. Product of
this year. Okay.
Yeah. I think he just hasn't been in a good space, talking about the roster, playing time, everything that's going around, and he's been affected by it, I think.
Yeah. Feels like everyone is. Mm-hmm. Like, I should do, that'd be a fun idea, to look at who is averaging, like, career lows across the board or anything. Like, I know DeRozan's numbers are way down from his career. Like, it's affecting everyone, and it's taking them all down.
Well, we appreciate you, my friend. This National Media's Will Z, yeah. SI. We appreciate
you. You're not doing your job. Will, you should be making jokes about the Kings.
Yeah.
More jokes.
I know. Probably get more clicks, too. But
yeah, more clicks. Yeah. Hey, that's it. Jokes. Yeah.
I gotta maintain my integrity.
We appreciate you, Will. Thanks, buddy.
Take care, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Bye, Kennedy.
Bye. Yeah.